An exhibition of historic dolls' houses from the Victoria and Albert Museum came to Norwich Castle recently. Its finale was the Dream House 2017 exhibition, featuring magical miniature rooms specially created by Norfolk architects, school groups and others, including Mark Smith and colleagues from the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind. Leslie Fish met Mark to find out more.
Hello, I'm Leslie, and I'm at the NNAB office talking to Mark Smith, the Leisure and Education Coordinator, about the sensory dream room he helped to create as part of the Small Stories at Home in a Doll's House Dream House 2017 exhibition, which was at the Castle Museum recently. Entitled The Balcony of the Best Exotic Geranium Hotel, the room, created with the help of Michael Ridge and Carl Foster, encourages visitors to experience the sound, smell and feel of the space via a myriad of textures and objects. Mark, you must have been delighted when your sensory dream room was chosen to be part of the exhibition. How did you start to put your design for the room together?
Wow, it was quite a tall order at first to get it all together. Fee Hitchcock, the curator of the exhibition, approached me and asked if NNAB would like to put a room together. And at first I was quite unsure how to go about it and what to put in. But I worked with Carl and Mike, and they came up with some ideas, and we literally had brainstorming sessions where I kind of thought what would be my ideal dream room. And being blind myself, obviously other senses come into play, and I kept thinking about holidays I'd had abroad and what I like to do when I relax. And then it started to make me think about a room, and then I thought, well, do I just do one room, or do I do a room within its own? And then I kind of thought about holidays I'd had abroad, and then that led me to thinking about exotic sounds and exotic smells, and then led me to thinking about, you know, plush carpets in hotel rooms and soft furnishings and things that for me as a blind person kind of meant more and were more important than the visual aesthetics.
Okay, thank you. In your own words, how would you describe your room? What, as you walk through the door, how would you describe what you feel and sense?
Well, the room is very much based on my experiences on foreign holidays. So it's very much along the lines of a thick plush carpet, like I said, soft furnishings. And then as you get further into the room, it's looking at different surfaces, both on the wall and on the flooring. And I can also have quite strong memories of balconies in hotels. And for me, the smell of flowers and plants is very important as a gardener. And then also sounds outside in the street. So the room is very much designed to reflect what you would hear from a balcony hotel when you're on holiday abroad. So the room also had a sound trail with it. And with the sound trail, there was sounds of cicadas chirping in the background, and then there was also sounds of market traders selling their goods in foreign languages and car horns honking. And the room also had a cat in it as well, because I'm very fond of animals at home. So the room is really designed to be both an audible and tactile sensation, and in a kind of a relaxing way. And the room itself is quite small. The actual dream room itself is probably only 2 by 3 foot. So everything that is in the dream room is on quite a small scale, but it's designed to be realistic. And at the very back of the box, we've also got mountains and pictures of other buildings in the distance, so other skyscrapers and other hotel buildings and things going into the distance.
This is a difficult question for you now. If you had to pick one highlight from the room, what would that be?
I think it's really the sounds of the cicadas and the sort of chirping sound that they made. That was one sound that always stuck in my mind a lot. I mean, we can perhaps relate to it in this country where in long grass you might hear crickets hopping about in the summer, and obviously abroad you have different wildlife. But I think it was always the cicadas that kind of stuck in my mind as that kind of sound of sort of exoticness and being abroad and, you know, being ultimately in a different place and being on holiday and being more relaxed with all the usual things of being abroad and being, you know, out of work mode and having nice foreign food and drink and having the opportunity to relax.
Have you had a chance to actually have any feedback from your visitors to the room?
Yes, definitely. A lot of people have been very intrigued by the room. There were a lot of dolls' houses and dream rooms in the exhibition, and apart from my one, every other one was behind glass. So mine's been the only one that where you can actually touch anything, which has been quite nice, because obviously, because of the nature of conservation and how precious and delicate things are on a miniature scale, it's very difficult to have them open and for people to be able to touch. But I think most people were just very pleased to be aware of sensory nature. And also it's been a great opportunity for the NNAB to become, you know, have a bit more of a raised profile and just to have our name out there a little bit and to raise the awareness of how important other senses are when you can't see so well.
Will the Sensory Dream Room be open for people to come and visit at the NNAB here?
Yes, I'm hoping to. I haven't got it quite set up yet. I've only just had it back from the museum the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm hoping that it will be on display here at the Bradbury Centre at NNAB, and I've got to get the sound trail rigged up again. But yes, it's quite an easy item to display.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mark, for your time today. And your dream room is lovely and amazing, and I'm sure many more people will enjoy it.
Thank you
very much.
It's a pleasure.
Leslie Fish was speaking to Mark Smith of the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind.